Redfin called the new listings figure a silver lining for today's buyers. It is worth asking, a silver lining for what, exactly? Nothing else in this week's reporting suggests the balance of power in housing moved toward the people trying to buy. It moved, if anywhere, toward the people already holding the keys. The four-year high that didn't touch pricing power. New listings hitting a four-year high is a real number and a real change in behavior. More sellers put homes on the market than have in 4 years. That is supply doing what supply is supposed to do. But supply is only half the transaction, and the other half didn't move the same direction. In the same stretch of coverage, Redfin reported that NYC suburbs are the nation's strongest sellers' markets. That is not a contradiction buried in fine print, it is one headline sitting next to the other. Sellers in some of the country's most competitive metro areas are not negotiating from weakness. They are dictating terms in markets that, by definition, favor them over buyers. A four-year high in listings and a market ranked among the country's strongest for sellers can both be true at once, and that is the point reporters keep skipping past. Volume of inventory and leverage over price are not the same variable. One went up. The other, where it mattered most, didn't move at all. A buyer scrolling through more listings than they've seen in years is still walking into a negotiation where the seller holds the stronger hand, because more homes to choose from and cheaper homes to choose from are not the same offer, and this week's data only delivered the first one. Rates whipsawed, nobody blinked. Mortgage rates climbed as global forces pushed yields higher. Then, within the same run of coverage, mortgage rates dropped to the week's best levels. Then came a session described as still resilient despite afternoon weakness. Read those three headlines in sequence and what you get is not a trend, it's noise. Rates climbed on global bond pressure, eased to the week's best levels, then held through afternoon softness that didn't reverse the improvement. That is a market twitching, not a market deciding anything. Whipsaw-like, that is exactly the environment in which sellers don't need to concede a thing. A buyer trying to plan a purchase against rates that move meaningfully within days has no stable number to negotiate against, and sellers know it. Instability in financing costs doesn't pressure asking prices down, it just makes buyers move faster when a window briefly opens, which is its own kind of leverage transfer. And it runs the wrong way for anyone hoping the new listings number would translate into cheaper monthly payments. There is a reason mortgage professionals spend so much time on hedging, verification, and point-of-sale tools rather than on predicting where rates land next month. The instruments exist because nobody on the lending side expects stability either. A housing story that treats a four-year high in listings as decisive while ignoring rate volatility this pronounced is telling half the story and calling it the whole picture. Where the capital actually went. While the listings figure was being framed as buyer relief, money kept moving into housing and housing-adjacent infrastructure at a scale that has nothing to do with how many single-family homes got listed this month. Turner delivered a $112 million school. Amtrak broke ground on a $1 billion NYC maintenance facility. Kobani committed $1.2 billion to buy and invest in a Pennsylvania plant. Grand Peaks bought an Oregon apartment property outright. Cleveland is now leaning on private partnerships to fund its affordable housing program rather than waiting on public money alone. None of that capital was sitting on the sidelines waiting for a listings report to decide whether housing demand still holds. That flow of institutional money is the tell. If big capital believed the housing market was actually loosening in a way that would compress prices or rents, you would expect more caution, not a summer of multifamily firms actively buying and selling property on both sides of the ledger. Instead, the deals kept happening at every scale, from a single Oregon apartment property to a billion-dollar rail maintenance facility. The people with the largest, most informed bets on housing did not treat a four-year high in new listings as a signal that the ground was shifting under them. They kept building, buying and financing on the same assumptions they had before the number came out. What buyers are actually getting for the extra listings? Look at what's happening on the buyer side rather than the seller side, and the picture gets less encouraging still. Redfin's own historical data argues that adjustable rate mortgages pay off for home buyers most of the time. That is a case for buyers to change what kind of loan they take out to survive a volatile rate environment, not evidence that home prices themselves are becoming more affordable. It's a coping strategy dressed up as good news. Buyers are being told to change their financing instrument, not handed a market where the underlying asset costs less. And the product on offer is quietly getting smaller too. The share of new homes built with patios has dipped to a 6-year low. That is a small fact on its own, but not a trivial one set against a headline about record listings. Builders are trimming what comes standard on a new house while list prices hold firm, which means the 4-year high in listings includes homes that, feature for feature, are worth a little less than similar homes were 6 years ago. More units for sale is not the same as more value for the money on offer, and a buyer comparing today's inventory to what was available half a decade back is, in a small but real way, getting less house for the same asking price. The story that got told and the one the data supports. The version of this week's news that's easiest to write is straightforward: supply eased, so buyers get a break. The version the reporting actually supports is narrower and considerably less comfortable. Supply eased in aggregate while the strongest local market stayed strongest for sellers. Mortgage rates moved in three different directions inside the space of a few headlines without landing anywhere a buyer could plan around with confidence. Institutional capital kept deploying billions into housing and housing-adjacent assets without so much as a pause. And the new homes coming onto the market are shipping with less than they used to, patios included. Inventory went up this week. Almost nothing else that determines who holds the advantage in a housing transaction moved with it. Sellers in the country's strongest markets are still setting the terms. Lenders are still hedging against rates that can't hold a direction for more than a few days. Builders are still cutting features rather than cutting prices. And the largest pools of capital in housing are still writing checks as if none of this changed the calculation for them. That is the actual lesson of a 4-year high in new listings. It is a supply-side data point, not a market correction, and reporting it as relief for buyers without weighing it against sellers' market rankings, rate volatility, and shrinking home features gives readers a conclusion the numbers themselves don't back. More listings did not move the market. It just gave buyers more homes to lose the negotiation on.